Hello and good day. I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, bringing you the 2024 Agricultural Outlook presented by the Mid-America Ag Network. The Ag Outlook is a time to briefly reflect on the previous year, thus being 2023, and look ahead to 2024 in both the livestock, grains, energy markets, and other commodity news and upcoming previews for the upcoming year. Today, we will be speaking with industry leaders as they give us their insight on the previous year, as well as any news upcoming for 2024. For the respected occupation. This program runs on the Mid-America Ag Network and its well-respected affiliates throughout the state of Kansas and Oklahoma. So sit back, relax, and take a listen as to what's coming up for 2024 as we now feature you with the 2024 Mid-America Ag Network Agricultural Outlook. And today we will start in the livestock, or more specifically, the dairy price outlook for 2024, as dairy prices did end 2023 on a down note. Now, we spoke with Katie Burgess, Director of Risk Management for Ever Ag, as she talks about the 2024 outlook.
Our expectations for prices next year is kind of middle of the road. We expect it to be better than 2023, but it's kind of a tightrope. Globally, milk supply is starting to tighten up a little bit, so if supply is tighter, maybe that means higher prices, but we are still really concerned about global dairy demand. We see places like China buying a lot less, Southeast Asia, Japan is taking less product, and all of those are big customers of dairy generally, and for us in the U.S.
And we know how the pricing works within commodity markets, as success in 2024 will depend on higher demand for dairy products.
If demand doesn't pick up, it could be another year of soft prices. And I think the lesson of 2023 was that prices could fall even further than you expect based on what we saw this summer. We always encourage producers to consider dairy margin protection program via the FSA office or dairy revenue protection insurance, because you can never say for sure what the future holds. So having some downside protection is really important.
Once again, that was Director of Risk Management for EverAg, Katie Burgess, speaking on behalf of the dairy prices ending 2023 on a down note and giving us an outlook for 2024. Now, staying on the dairy theme, as we had just mentioned, 2023 was a bit of a roller coaster year for many in agriculture, especially within the dairy industry. And with a new year brings new expectations, as we talked with EverAg Zach Bowers, reflecting on the up and down nature of 2023 for dairy producers.
2023 was a real roller coaster of highs and lows, right? Looking back on it, I never in a million years would have guessed we would have seen the $14 class three that we did in that June-July period, and then to follow it up with $19 just a couple months later, and then right back down to where we're at. You're looking at, you know, 15, 30-ish class three at the moment for January.
And as we know, dairy demand will play a big role in 2024 prices, but Bauer says the supply will dictate the direction of markets as well.
Supply side continues to do its thing here. We're seeing cow numbers drop. We're seeing that milk production report continue to run lower, not only here, but actually globally as well. Europe trending lower the same time as they're affected by, you know, poor margins and environmental regulations similar to us here in the U.S., but actually a little bit more extreme. Looking into 2024, supply side probably continues to stay tight, and eventually that will catch up to us, and I think we'll allow for better milk prices. The time being, though, the next 3 to 6 months, hard to get really excited about this market, right?
Bowers does admit that it's hard to get excited about 2024 prices when you look a little bit deeper into the cheese production side of the industry.
The last couple of years, all we've done is add more cheese production. These new billion-dollar cheese plants, to run efficiently, have to always run full. So even with milk production tightening, that usually just ends up shorting the class four butter powder plants. That continues to hold the $19+ milk price in the 2024, and I think can probably continue to be the shining star for the next year or so as tight milk production causes lower production of those class four products. However, the cheese plants are going to continue to make their fill, and that means we need to rely on the export market. We just don't have enough demand here domestically to consume all that.
Now, the United States has not competed well price-wise on the world market, but entering 2024, that has changed, and the U.S. has the most attractive price for world buyers.
Right now, we're the cheapest in the world on the cheese front at a, you know, 145-ish spot price, whereas, you know, New Zealand closer to 190. Europe's also in that 180 to 190 price as well, too. So we should be the first stop for exports. The question is if and when that happens, right? I mean, we continue to see Chinese economy downturn, continue to see their participation on the New Zealand GDT auction. You know, this last auction this Tuesday was actually their participation was down 53% year over year. Eventually, they will have to come step back into the market. Doesn't look like it's right now, and it doesn't look like it's going to be anytime soon, right? We're going to continue to have to weather this poor export market for a little bit longer.
Cow numbers continue to lessen, and Bauer says another source of income for dairy farmers can be found in the dairy heifer market, as replacements for the milking herd will be hard to find moving forward due to the increased beef-on-dairy breeding over the recent years.
If you own extra replacements, you're in a very good position right now to make decent profit on those, and I think that those prices will probably continue to remain pretty elevated into the new year, right, as one of the shining stars of the agriculture industry this past year has been the beef prices, right? I mean, we just haven't had the beef cattle in the pipeline to keep up with demand. We saw that in the cold storage report last week with, you know, one of the lowest beef numbers in cold storage in, I think, 3 or 4 years. With that, we've seen a lot of beef on dairy, right? And you're seeing that in the day-old bull calves, right? I mean, they were anywhere from $500 to $600. I know they've come off maybe a little bit here in the last couple of weeks, but still a lot of guys getting $400+ for a day-old. You're going to keep breeding that, right? Which is only going to continue to keep that heifer pipeline pretty tight going into the new year.
Once again with EverAg, that is Zach Bowers. Now, in other news, farmers and ranchers have been preparing for the upcoming year, but animal rights activists have also been gearing up for 2024, and the livestock industry needs to be prepared. We spoke with Abby Cornegy, manager of issues and engagement for the Animal Agriculture Alliance, talks about what tactics to watch out for in the new year.
Direct Action Everywhere has really pushed this Right to Rescue campaign, and something they're really spreading. They actually held trainings across the country as part of their campaign earlier this year, having like a roadshow that goes across and does trainings. But we'll continue to see, I think, that legislation. They're really pushing members in the animal rights movement to make friends with their legislators, to become subject matter experts in their minds, so they can become that go-to person to push forward legislation that is maybe not friendly to animal agriculture.
Of course, attacks and misinformation continue on social media platforms, but she says it's very important to respond with nothing but the truth.
Definitely. But we also don't want that to discourage you from posting that positive, proactive information that we all love. There's always going to be those people. But really, I think the bigger picture is the cybersecurity aspect of it. We've seen a lot of attacks on that cybersecurity front. So if you do have an online presence, make sure it's safe and secured. They can't hack into your account. We had an instance earlier this year of a pork farm in Canada where they actually took ransom their security footage and wanted them to come out and claim that there were animal welfare allegations on the farm. Cybersecurity is a growing threat in animal rights, so we just want to make everyone aware.
She then goes on to talk about what to do when faced with trouble from animal activism.
Definitely stay strong in who you are. Don't give in to these groups. We say always it's really best to not engage. So if you can kind of hold out from the engagement, that's best. We don't have the same common ground as these folks. They don't want the same thing as us. We just don't want to even begin those negotiations. Definitely reach out to your local association, your co-op. Reach out to us at Animal Ag Alliance. You can report security threats. We can help spread that message so we can help protect others in your community.
That was Manager of Issues and Engagement for the Animal Agriculture Alliance, Abby Cornegy. And again, for more information she had mentioned, head to their website, animalalliance.org. Next, we'll go ahead and shift gears and look at the 2024 United States red meat export potential, as the forecast is so far mixed. We spoke with Aaron Borer, Vice President of Economic Analysis with the United States Meat Export Federation, says the numbers look better for United States pork.
On the pork side, it's been really strong growth or even rebound in exports in 2023, about an 8% increase, and then expecting and forecasting a further increase in pork exports in 2024, possibly around another 4% gain off of the increase in 2023.
She also mentions that when we look at the global pork production, United States pork is well positioned for further growth.
On the supply side, in really both Europe and in China, what's happened is Europe's production has declined by about 2.8 million metric tons, or by about 12% if we look at their 2021 peak production compared to where it's going to end this year. But it lined up exactly with China's decrease in imports of pork. So they will have declined about the same, about 2.8 million tons lower than at their peak. And in 2024, talking to European producers, there was not much optimism for a rebound whatsoever. There is a chance that China's production moderates in 2024. It's hard to get excited about that at this moment. We're definitely still watching and not putting our hopes on it.
Now, beef faced several challenges during 2023, and it's looking like that pattern will continue into this new year.
Real rationing of demand for U.S. beef, because we know production is going to decline further. And so you're looking at a domestic consumer versus our international consumers, and who's going to bid more. I hear often the perception that, well, we're producing less beef, we don't need to export as much anyway. And that couldn't be farther from the truth, especially when we need to enable higher prices across the whole supply chain to send the signal to rebuild the herd.
Now, it's not all doom and gloom, as she says there are some reasons for optimism throughout the new year of 2024.
We could actually see a couple of tailwinds in 2024. Recently, after the Federal Reserve meeting in December, we're hearing a bit more from the markets anyway about lower interest rate expectations, hope that we could have a bit weaker dollar, at least for commodity exports. We've seen these inventory pressures for actual meat in freezers and markets starting to ease. And so I think there's some optimism there as importers have kind of adjusted. And as they expect higher U.S. beef prices, I think they'll be more willing to buy because we have seen that pricing situation normalize.
Once again, that's Aaron Borer, Vice President of Economic Analysis with the United States Meat Export Federation, also claiming for more information on exports, you can head to their website, usmef.org. Now we'll focus a little bit more on the pork, as when we spoke with USDA's Gary Crawford and Chief Economist Seth Meyer, we took a look into an issue facing the pork industry throughout the new year, as they're starting the new year by trying to boost prices by keeping a lid on production.
In the pork industry for most of this past year,
profitability in swine hasn't been great.
It has not. USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer says hog producers have been trying to get prices back up and get returns back above break-even.
They cut farrowings in an attempt to cut production. The problem is pigs per litter jumped so much that it completely offset any of the attempts to actual cut supply. So is pigs per litter sustained? Was that a blip? Are we back on this aggressive trend of pigs per litter growth?
Good questions. Right now, producers say that during the current December through February quarter, they intend to cut farrowings by 2% and cut them by 1% in the spring quarter. Even so, USDA's most recent forecast for 2024 has pork production running still about 1.5% higher than 2023. Better prices, though. Hog prices in the new year forecast at $60 a hundredweight, up $1.30 from this past year.
Once again, that's USDA's Gary Crawford and Seth Meyer. Now we'll shift gears once more, as again, we're all preparing for the calving season, which is a critical aspect of beef cattle management. We also had an opportunity to sit down and get some advice from Dr. Brett Terhar, beef technical consultant with Elanco Animal Health. He says you can never prepare too much or too early for calving season.
If we need to change direction, especially on nutrition, we need to think about that 60 to 90 days ahead of calving. So generally, I recommend people make an honest evaluation of the body condition score of their animals ahead of that third trimester. A good practice would be to go out and look at the first 20 animals that you see in the group and write down each of their body condition scores. And want to see is a 6 to 6.5 body condition score for heifers and 5.5 to 6 for cows. Evaluating that 60 to 90 days prior to calving gives us time to add a little weight to those cows if we need to. It is really difficult to change course on body condition score after calving. Having animals in the correct body condition score sets us up to have healthy calves on the ground right now and has a great impact on our fertility, which will impact our next year's calf crop.
He then goes on and gives our listeners the steps producers can take to set cows up for a successful calving season.
There are two things that I really pay attention to when we're getting ready for the calving season. One is nutritional management and management of vaccine. When we look at nutrition, we want to make sure that is a balanced ration. You can work with a nutritionist or your local feed store. We want to make sure that we have adequate protein and energy going into the calving season. That has an effect on live calf birth weights. It has an effect on colostrum, quantity and quality. The other thing is the use of vaccination. And that's important in that it can change the quantity and the quality of the colostrum. Doing that at the proper time is also important. We want to be in that 8 to 10 weeks prior to calving range of time when we would apply the vaccine to the cows or heifers.
That's beef technical consultant for Elanco Animal Health, Dr. Brett Terhar. As also he had mentioned, to learn more about how to keep your cattle one step ahead, you can talk with an Elanco Animal Health representative. Next, we had the opportunity to speak with CEO of the American Angus Association, Mark McCauley, at the 2024 Cattle
Cattlemen's Congress, talked about the state of the Angus industry as well as the fourth year of the Cattlemen's Congress event.
Yeah, very much. It doesn't feel like a new event, right? It's an established event, and it's really a world-class one. We've got exhibitors from all over the country. I actually talked to some Angus breeders from Scotland that were in from the for the bases loaded sale and taken in the Cattlemen's Congress. And so it's, we're 4 years in, and it's really, really matured into a fantastic event.
McCulley says at the show there is not only live cattle sales, but also sales for genetics in many different forms.
Yeah, very much so. It's a lot of embryos, a lot of pregnancies, a lot of, right to flush a particular donor cow. Even semen is becoming more of a, we've got a young sire or a little bit of a rare situation around some genetics. A package of maybe semen will be put together that would be auctioned off as well. So it's not just live cattle. We've got, of course, live cattle to sell, but genetics in lots of different forms.
And a great event it certainly was. Now, we asked regarding the state of the Angus breed. McCulley said ranchers remain optimistic, although herd rebuilding is going a little slower than many expected.
I think the profitability scenario for commercial producers continues to be strong. They're going to be in the driver's seat for a while, and that always bodes well for the ability to invest in genetics. Angus genetics continue to fit that job description for Cavanese and all of the as they start rebuilding and keeping more heifers back. So Angus are very popular in that regard.
McCulley said incredibly strong growth has been seen in the premium side of the beef market. Over 25% of the total cattle in the United States are qualifying for the CAB or CAB program, so it is a significant force in the marketplace. Once again, that's CEO of the American Angus Association, Mark McCulley. We'll take a quick step aside, but don't go anywhere as the back half of the 2024 Ag Outlook continues here through the Mid-America Ag Network.
Schwederman Incorporated, your home for market information and market analysis across the Mid-America region. Based out of Garden City, Kansas, Schwederman Incorporated can help with any of your commodity needs for buying, selling, or trading any type of agricultural commodity. Plus, see other opening and closing market updates on the Mid-America Ag Network every single trading day and get information from corn supply demand reports, wheat and soybean supply demand reports, and so much more. Give them a call at 1-800-272-9131 or find them online at UpTheLimit.com.
More in 24 from Rusty Eck Ford. More selection on new and used inventory. Choose from over 500 new and used vehicles on our lot and ready to drive home today. More for your trade. More President's Award-winning sales and service experience from Rusty Eck Ford. Wichita's only President's Award-winning dealership 3 years running for the best overall sales and service experience. More service options. Rusty Eck Ford has factory-certified technicians to care for all your auto repair needs. We can pick up and drop off your vehicle for service, and our mobile service van can come to your home or work for most routine maintenance needs. Only at Rusty Eck Ford. More zero down and low APR financing options to help you get into the new car, truck, or SUV you need. Good credit, bad credit, or no credit at all. Our finance team will help you with the best finance options available to you. At Rusty Eck Ford and RustyEckFord.com.
El Dorado Livestock Auction, 2.5 miles east of El Dorado on Highway 54. Proudly serving farmers and ranchers with weekly cattle sales each Thursday at 11 a.m. The order of sale is stock cows and bulls, followed by calves, feeder cattle, then butcher cows and bulls. The goal at El Dorado Livestock Auction is to use an honest, full-value approach that attracts the best buyers and creates a competitive market for our sellers. El Dorado Livestock Auction strives to develop a friendly, personal relationship with each customer and understand their individual business needs. You can see a full list of consignments online at eldoradolivestock.com or pick up the phone and call 316-320-3212 with any questions. El Dorado Livestock Auction, a sale every Thursday at 11 a.m. El Dorado Livestock Auction, 2.5 miles east of El Dorado on Highway 54.
You know, farmers, Kaufman Seeds sure gives you great seed choices for your farming operation. Like Kaufman Seeds Corn 662, for example. 662, it's a 113-day trifecta hybrid, excels on dry land here in central Kansas, and 662 has good roots, good stocks, excels with moderate plant populations. So, if you order now, you can receive an early order discount.
This is Dustin at Kaufman Seeds. Give us a call for all your seed needs. call 800-634-2836. Kaufman Seeds.
Welcome back. Again, I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, here with your 2024 Ag Outlook presented by the Mid-America Agricultural Network. Thank you for joining us on one of our many great affiliates that we have here through the Mid-America Ag Network as we'll continue forward here on the back half of the 2024 Ag Outlook, as now we will shift our focus to the economy side of things, as there is a little less optimism about the ag economy going into 24 than they were in 2023. We spoke with Chad Hart. He's an Iowa State University professor who says the outlook for the year is an entire glooming. He says it's actually maybe a case of things returning to normal.
The idea is, I'm going to describe it as, we're returning back to normal. When you think back at 2020, 2021, 2022, what we had were some very strong years for the farm economy. And the idea is, we couldn't expect that to continue. We've seen our prices decline. We're seeing things tighten up as far as profit margins are concerned. But for most commodities, I would argue we're around break even, which I would argue is around normal.
He does say the ag sector will have its challenges.
Now, we've got our definite weak spots. Dairy has struggled hard in 2023. Pork has struggled as well significantly. But when you're looking at some of our crops like corn and soybeans, I'm going to argue, no, they're settling back in towards prices equal production cost, which is the normal state of affairs.
High input costs have squeezed margins in the last few years. Hart says it's a different situation than what was considered, quote, normal before 2020.
No, I'm going to argue margins are, but here's the difference. When you think about it, what we are used to, say you go back 5-10 years ago, yes, we would have been talking lower prices and lower costs. Now we're talking higher prices and higher costs. So prices don't have to fall back to where they were to create problems for us. Think of it as the profits we've gathered over the past few years, we've reinvested that back in agriculture. By that reinvestment, we have driven those input costs up to match the prices we have today.
So it's less optimistic than last year, but not all gloom and doom for the ag economy in 2024. Once again, that's professor from Iowa State University, Chad Hart. We'll keep our focus here on the ag economy, as back last year, 2023, was a challenging year for United States agriculture. We spoke with David Widmar, an economist with Agricultural Economic Insights, as he talks about some of the bigger stories of the year in agriculture.
One of the big stories is declining net farm income. Big headline shocker there, but still historically high. So we've got to balance those two narratives. It's not been as good for all parts of the country. The Midwest and the Corn Belt have done really strong the last 3 years collectively. So 21, 22, 23 are the best three-run average that we've had since the 40s. So the best 3 years in most of our careers. Now, on the other side of the narrative, we have commodity prices that have trended lower, especially on corn the last few years. Another year of below trend line yields. And of course, interest rates. Really not necessarily the short-term rates that the Fed adjusts at their meetings, but we're really watching these long-term rates.
He says looking forward, the volatility in agriculture will likely continue into this 2024 year.
That's not necessarily all bad. As we talked about earlier, despite record high fertilizer prices, despite all the uncertainty around usage and demand and inflation, the farm economy had a good run between 2011 and 2023. We might see some reversion to the mean, whereas net farm incomes could again be lower, but not necessarily historically bad. We got to realize that both at the farm level and at the sector level, the last 3 years are not normal. They're not normal in terms of amount of government payments. They're not normal in terms of commodity prices or profitability. So we need to start recalibrating expectations for what's normal and what should we plan on.
I had an opportunity to talk to him about the upcoming growing season as well, as Widmar talks about factors producers need to watch for when making decisions ahead of the 2024 growing season.
Well, one of the things we're going to keep an eye on is acreage. There's always an acreage reallocation. And one of the things that happened in 2023, and our observation is that we had a lot of corn acres and a little bit of soybean acres, and that's resulted in this imbalance in the ending stocks. So corn ending stocks are above the long run average, closer to 15% instead of the average of 13. Soybeans are closer to 5 or 6% instead of the long run average of 8. So we need to see some acreage reallocation. So producers are going to need to keep an eye on that relative price ratio and how that's going to impact their budgets. Also keeping an eye on fertilizer expenses. Fertilizers came down a lot. That's going to really benefit corn budgets quite a bit.
Once again, that's economist with Agriculture Economics Insight, David Widmar. And I'm Sam Speck, saying so long for now for the 2024 Agricultural Outlook presented by the Mid-America Ag Network. This is only phase one of two, as here on this Saturday, as well as the following Saturday, and a proud thank you to all of our great affiliates who have been covering this program here today. We will be back next week with more of an Agricultural Outlook for 2024.